Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear radio program. I'm your host, Susan, Laris, and Danz. And tonight, we have a guest that I'm really looking forward to speaking with. Her name is Marie Friend. And Marie is very experienced at discussing past lives with clients. She has over 20 years of experience doing past life regressions. She is also an experienced dream interpreter and intuitive, and she is the author of a book called Star. And I wanted to just allow another very well-known author to describe this book, Star, and that person is Barbara Hand Clow, who gave Star a very interesting review. Here is what Barbara said about Marie's book. Star is a brilliant tour de force through love bonds that were forged during the time of Akhenaten, strengthened during the reign of Henry VIII, and then climaxed in New York during the September 11th fall of the World Trade Center. The connection between various time periods are compelling and brilliantly wrought, yet what stands out in this wonderful novel is love. Friend's subtle portrayals of love relationships from both the male and female perspective are deep and thought-provoking. If you want to read a tale that gives you great insight into male and female romances flowing through karma and history, read this book. And tonight, Marie will be taking your phone calls. She did want to mention that on a call-in show like this, it won't be possible to do a very detailed reading. She can do some dream interpretation as well as give you some intuitive glimpses as she talks to you. We already have several callers on the line, and you are welcome to call in. The guest call-in number for people who would like to talk to us is 310-807-5104, and we'll also be taking your questions because Marie is very experienced at various metaphysical topics. We also have a chat room that is open tonight on the Frontier Beyond Fear talk radio page. Now, to put a comment or a question in the chat room, you'll need a login for Blog Talk Radio, which is easily obtained, and I will on occasion be communicating questions and comments to Marie. So now I'm going to go ahead and welcome Marie on our program tonight. Hello, Marie. Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan, and thank you for that beautiful introduction. I hope I can live up to it.
Well, thank you so much. You know, as we talked, we're basically having a casual conversation over tea, coffee, or whatever we feel like tonight, as is the custom of this show.
Okay.
Now, tell me, Marie, can you tell me how you first became interested in reincarnation?
Oh my goodness! Well, it was a process by where I always use the analogy, Susan, that when the door is ready to be opened, you don't even have to push it open yourself; it automatically is opened for you. I was very fortunate that I was raised in a family where my great grandparents, my maternal great grandparents, were Welsh gypsies. My mother was psychic, so I was raised that anything that was that we consider, the majority of people consider paranormal, was considered normal in our household. I had precognitive dreams and grew up thinking everybody did. But we never really discussed reincarnation. We discussed spiritualism. I went to spiritualist churches, dreams naturally, all sorts of psychic phenomena. But I really didn't get into it. I was one of the thousands of people that back in the 80s read Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb, which was, here again, I read it by sheer accident, and of course there are no such things as accidents. I found it in a secondhand bookstore. It had been out for a while in a paperback form. I got nothing else to read, so I bought the book. I think I paid $1 for it. It lay on my bedside table for about a month, and then I finally thought, hey, I ought to read this book. And so I did, and as I started to read it, I couldn't put it down until I'd finished it, and it was kind of, as I turned the pages, it was just like the door started opening. It was almost, I knew what she was going to say next before I got to the next page. And to cut a long story short, I ended up going to one of her higher self workshops that she was holding at that time, a weekend workshop, which was very profound. And from that workshop, learned that I could actually tap into people's past lives. And from there, it just kept snowballing. I'm a very show-me person. I like proof, physical proof of this kind of thing. And I experienced, through a hypnotherapist, a professional, past life in England, where I knew my name, where I came from, et cetera, et cetera. And my husband and I, the next time we visited back in England, and incidentally, I'd never heard of this place. It was a tiny little village in England. We found the village, found the house that in this, it was an 18th century past life that hypnotherapist had taken me through. I found the house that I grew up in. Everything just fell into place. And it was like a double whammy of deja vu. And I even found the name.
Uh-huh.
Pardon?
I even found my name
in that life. And to top it all off, my name in that life was Elizabeth Beaumont. And come to find out, the first person of the church in this little tiny village in England was a Reverend Beaumont. And so that made me a believer, of course. That was the physical proof that, yes, there is such a thing as past life. It was right there. And over the past almost 20 years, I've been doing past life readings for people, primarily to show them what they've come back this time for, why they've come back around again, lessons that they need to learn, etc. And I've learned so much. I've learned a tremendous amount. I've received much more than I've given from these people, and I'm very, very thankful for it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Marie, having come from a family myself that was not into the paranormal and was actually a very conservative Christian family where we didn't really learn about reincarnation, for me, when I was young, reincarnation was more something that was in the movies or that you heard about, and it was only much later in life that I had an intuitive glimpse into a past life, and just like you, it took quite a bit of proof for me to believe it. And I really do feel that the universe gives you as much proof as you need if you seek it. That has been my experience. And it gave me such reassurance, too, because a lot of people out there are worried about things like, you know, am I going to hell, for example? You know, that's a common worry out there. And for me, it was a great reassurance to know that we live many lives, not just one life. I was wondering if you could, you know, a topic that I still don't fully understand, having come from my evangelical background, is karma. It's sometimes a troubling topic for me to think of karma and what it might mean. If you can, how do you escape karma? How do you transcend karma? And I know your book, Star, has a lot to do with karma, and we're going to have you do a reading from the book in a few minutes. I do want to mention we have a full set of callers. The lines are full right now. So if you're on the line, please hold on. We will get to you. If you're wanting to call in, just you know, we'll have to wait until one of the callers is done, and then another position will open up. But welcome to all the callers that are waiting out there. So anyway, Marie, could you talk a little bit about karma?
Well, karma isn't the big demon that a lot of people seem to think it is. It's basically life's experiences, and believe it or not, some karmic things are enjoyable, especially gifts that we bring in. Karma just isn't bad stuff, if you will, that you've done in another past life. A very, very strong example, and you and I have talked about this, Susan. Apparently Mozart was composing music at 3 years old. You can't tell me that that child hadn't done it before. No way could he have done. And I've met so many people that are extremely talented. Just to give you an example, well, getting back to karma, I use the analogy with people. It's not always a matter of, oh, Lord, I've done it wrong and I'm going to have to come back again. We are given ample opportunities to resolve karmic issues in this life. The biggie, of course, is relationships. Not just relationships between spouses or significant others, relationships between siblings, parents, bosses, anyone that comes into contact with you that has a significant influence on your life. And by this I mean emotionally has a significance. How many times do you meet somebody and you take an immediate dislike to them and you don't know why? Or vice versa, you meet someone and you think, God, I feel like I've known them all their life. And usually you have. The gifts that we bring in, 9 times out of 10, that you've done them before. That's a very good example. I like to use examples from some of my readings very briefly. This gentleman, this has been probably about 10 years ago, he came to see me. And I saw this man, and incidentally, I've never seen anybody as Cleopatra or Napoleon or anyone famous, but I have seen people that have been closely associated with famous people. And this boy, this man, he was a boy that was a gopher for Leonardo da Vinci. And, of course, very talented as an artist, or he wouldn't have been there in the first place. Learned a tremendous amount from Leonardo da Vinci, and I really got a feel for this artist, who, of course, was a genius. And he was a very, very caring man. And even though he was a genius, he would teach his gophers, if you will. When I say gophers, they would mix the paints, they would run errands for him, do all the mundane things that he couldn't do. And anyway, when I got through with the reading for the young man, he shared with me that he was an engineer. Now, of course, if anybody knows about Leonardo da Vinci, not only was he a genius with painting and sculptor art, but he also was a man far beyond his times, or before his times, I should say, as far as engineering was concerned. He wrote, he drew a machine that would go on land and water. Now, we're talking about centuries ago. Oh, yeah. And of course, ended up with the tank. So anyway, it was really interesting. This young man shared with me that he was an engineer. So he brought it back. But he says, I love to draw. He says, and I love to paint. But I've never felt like I was good enough to do it professionally as a career. And it was very obviously wanted to. So, of course, this gave him the encouragement that, yes, I can make something with my art. I can do something with my art. So that's an example of a karmic gift that you've brought back with you. Very, very recently, we bring back fears, we bring back physical ailments. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a client that she was hung. She was a pickpocket in London a few centuries ago, and she was hung for her troubles. And the woman laughed. She says, I can't stand wearing necklaces. I can't stand anybody coming near my neck. I do not wear turtleneck sweaters. She says, and I've even laughed at work with my colleagues and said, hey, maybe I was hung to death in another life. So we bring physical things back with us, too. Yeah, and we're always given the I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was about to say.
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, with anything with karma, we're given the opportunity in this life to resolve the lessons we've come back to learn. This is the way I like to phrase it. Rather than karma, they're just lessons that we are having to learn in order to perfect our soul and not have to keep on returning to get back to our own divine selves, our divinity. And we're given ample opportunities. And I tell people, if you're given an opportunity to overcome some kind of karmic garbage that you brought with you, and you ignore it, you can bet your life it'll come back like a boomerang. It will not go away. It'll come back again until you've resolved it.
And yet so many of us are afraid of that, it seems, and yet it's exactly what you need to get through it. It's like being afraid of a class in school, I suppose. You know, some classes in school are more difficult than others, but I think... I appreciate that you present karma in a somewhat gentler, positive light than often we feel. I have actually known people from the Christian community who are horrified by the concept of living again because, you know, they're hoping after one life they just go to heaven and it's done. And, you know, I can understand why that's attractive to people. However, if you really think about it, we thrive on challenge. And if you don't have that challenge of growing, I'm not convinced that would necessarily be the most satisfying thing for your soul.
Well, certainly it wouldn't, no. It's too simplistic to talk about heaven and hell. They are words. Where is heaven? Where is hell? My own personal feeling is that we can make our own hell on earth. If we you know, and a lot of people do, and it's almost childlike to think. For example, as I say, as a child, I never thought of reincarnation, but I do remember thinking, you know, if human beings have been around for thousands of years, which of course we have 14,000 to be exact, if we've been around for thousands of years. And some of these people, when we die, you've gone to heaven or you've gone to hell. Both places must be awfully crowded. And of course, in my mind, as a child, I couldn't separate the body from the spirit. But even at that, it's too simplistic. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't say. At least it doesn't to me.
Yeah, that's what I've come to realize, too. You know, Marie, since we have so many callers waiting, I think that maybe we'll start bringing some on, since some of them have probably called long distance, even though nowadays, thankfully, long distance isn't quite as much of a burden for many, many plans. But why don't we go ahead and bring some callers in? And then in a little while, we'll also give you a chance to talk a little bit more about your book as well. I am going to go ahead and bring in a caller here. All right. I see. Want to make sure I get them in order. And, you know, I am the producer and the host of the show, so I get to do all the logistics here. Here we go. Hello, Lanice. Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear. Are you there?
Yes, thank you, and hello.
Welcome. Do you have a question or a comment for Marie?
Yes, I would like to know if she can give me some insight on my most recent past life. I've always been curious about it, and I think I have some information that I've gotten some details on, and I just wanted to know what she sees for my most recent past life.
Well, what is the information? What is your name again?
Bernice.
Bernice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is the information that you feel that you have from a past life, Bernice? Because for me to give you some insights to a past life right off the top of my head without knowing some of your background, over the phone, that is, when I give a reading to someone in private, of course, I don't know anything about them. But what kind of insights have you had that gives you an idea of it might have been a past life?
You're saying why do I have the idea that it was a past life?
Yes, you mentioned that you've had some insight to, and that you felt it was probably a past life.
I've got some revelations as far as where I lived and who I was, and just a little bit about it. But I mean, never mind. Just give me whatever whatever insight you might come up with intuitively.
Well, I don't know where you've come from or who or what century you came from, but I get the feeling that the insights that I'm getting are a woman that was probably an extremely hardworking woman. It looks to me like you worked so hard. I see you scrubbing clothes. Cleaning clothes, and you're scrubbing them like with a scrub board. I get a feeling that maybe you lived a life as a pioneer during the settling of the Midwest of this country, and it looks like, and of course, most of the people, it was a very, very hard life for them, especially the women. But I see you scrubbing clothes with a scrub board, and it looks to me like not only were your hands chapped and raw from the scrubbing, but eventually arthritis set in, and because I see that your knuckles were warped and your knuckles get swollen with arthritis, and it was very painful. Does this make any sense to you? Hello?
Well, I haven't had anything like that going on now, and I hadn't got anything on that.
Well, I get a feeling that it was a very, very hard life that you lived, that it was physically hard. As a pioneer woman that was settling in new territory, if you will, it wasn't just a matter of having to do housework. You actually had to help in the fields. And you were a very strong woman, which most women had to be, very strong, but also had to kind of stuff your emotions for the sake of the family. You didn't show your emotions. It was, you had the attitude, well, you've got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps if anything bad happened, which it did. I think there was a fear there surrounding children that you might have brought back with you, possibly a fear of maybe losing a child, because I suspect from the life that you had that you could have probably lost a couple of children, at least a couple of children. You had several, probably from some disease that is curable in this day and age. But there seems to be some kind of fear that you might have brought back with you to do with children.
Now, that part is relevant to my most recent past life that I recall.
Okay. I wouldn't say it was your most recent past life. When I do a one-on-one reading with someone, we have hundreds of past lives, Bernice, because we've been so around so long. And also, of course, we're slow learners. But when I see a past life, it is always significant to what is going on in that person's life now. Like I said, it could be a fear that you brought back. It could be a personality trait, a relationship. It could be anything. But it's not easy to give you an in-depth reading over the phone.
Oh, I understand that clearly.
And it's not necessarily saying that this was the last life that you had before you came in now. You could have had other lives since that time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Lanise, for being on the show. I appreciate your asking some questions, and hopefully these insights will help you to keep exploring what those lives may be. I know Marie and I can both say that the more you're open to finding out more information, the more it appears, and sometimes in very unexpected ways. Isn't that true, Marie?
I believe that's true. I tell the people it's like the proverbial book that falls off the shelf. I've had people that have emailed me after I've given them a reading, and maybe there's been something they haven't quite understood, and they've said, well, remember when you told me such and such a thing? Well, this has happened. And they'll proceed to tell me something that has happened that has kind of turned the light switch on for them as to what I've been telling them. But like I said, Bernice, it's almost frustrating because it's very difficult to give an in-depth reading of a past life to someone over the phone. I've had people that have asked me, will you do a phone reading? And I usually won't, because I need to have that person's energy in front of me so that I can tune in, if you will, not only to my head honchos, as I call them, my guides, but I'm also tuning into their guides as well.
Well, thank you, Marie, for sharing that with us, since you certainly did a very good job of it, seeing what you could. And as I said at the beginning of the show for callers, just Marie, I mean, it'll depend on the call as to the depth that she can provide. But really, as she said, intuitive glimpses is more how I would characterize it as to what she'll be able to provide, as well as if anyone has dreams to interpret. And we do have quite a few people on the line, so... I want to thank you, Lanise, for calling in, and I hope you'll be with us again in the future.
I will. Thank you, and thank you, Marie.
You're welcome, Lanise. I hope it's helpful to you.
Yes, it was.
Okay. All right. I'm going to bring in another caller here, if we're prepared for that. Let's see, get people here in line, since we have quite a group who are interested in talking with you, Marie. Okay. Marie, are you still on the line? Uh-oh, I think we lost Marie. So I am going to have her call back in. Since we have so many callers, I believe Marie got bumped. So I'm just going to play a little music for a second here and get Marie back. Marie, are you back on the line?
I am. I think we got lost, didn't
Oh,
we?
Thankfully we got you back.
Well, I called back again.
I know. Well, the problem
I got a message saying if Yes,
no,
I got a message
so
saying
full.
If you'd like to make a call, do so.
Oh, thank goodness, because I was trying to call you back. We have more callers than we've ever had on this show to date. And
oh my goodness.
Somehow, yes, so you should be honored by that.
I'm
apologies
very honored.
To the listeners out there. You know, I used to get worried about technical glitches. I'll tell you a little story. I had a night, I don't know, it was some time ago, we had a technical glitch on the show, and I got all stressed about it afterwards. You know, I was very upset. Well, the very next day, which was Sunday, I was watching CNN, and suddenly everything went dead on CNN. I mean, it was just a disaster. And I thought, you know, this is Spirit giving me a hug and saying, look,
it's perfectly all right.
Yes, yes. And that, you know, and when you talk about karma, you know, part of my training was as an engineer, where you have to react very quickly to things. And I will tell you, doing this show involves a lot of multitasking, because You know, I'm both administering it and talking at the same time and, you know, trying to, when there's a little glitch like that. And I have to believe that somehow in my karmic path, there must be something having to do with responding on my feet. Maybe I was a soldier. I don't know.
or you could have been one of those leprechauns from Ireland that likes to play jokes, Susan, as well. By the way, if I lose you again, what do? Just wait for you to call me back?
Well, actually, I tried to call you to tell you to call back, but it was busy. But all you can do is just call.
Okay.
And if I have to, just a note to callers out there, since we have such full lines tonight, if you get knocked off because we lose Marie, I mean, I might have to knock one of you off for a minute just so that I can get Marie back. And so please do call back in because I am paying attention to the callers out there. Okay, well, now that that little crisis is over, let's see if we can actually go ahead with bringing the next caller on the line who I believe has some questions for you. And
okay. That
would be Esriel. Are you there?
Yes. Hello, Susan. Hello, Marie. Thank you for taking my call.
You're more than welcome, and I didn't catch your name.
Esriel.
Esriel?
Yes.
That sounds, what a lovely name. Okay, what do you want to ask me, Adriel?
Okay, I've had I wanted to thank you first for saying, instead of saying paranormal, you used like normal, because I grew up with spiritual church and everything, and I've been working on my spiritual journey. So very quickly, I've been having these lucid dreams where ascended masters give me balls of light. It's a light of knowledge. And they've come through channels, and I write down whatever their messages is. My question to you is, on my spiritual path and this earthy plane, this one, if you can tell me, or maybe just anything about it, am I to give spiritual messages? I am a medium, as they were called, but I don't like that label. What I want to do is be of service of words, to heal others through words, not through, and I was wondering if I am to give messages, channeled messages to, for the highest good of all, you know, help others.
So you're wondering, are you supposed to do this? Is this the question
Yes.
that you have?
Yes.
I would say as long as you are doing it for other people's highest good.
Yes, that's what
and
I said.
Not for your, yes, very definitely. If your gut instincts tell you that this is what you're supposed to do, then
mm-hmm.
go with it. I always tell people, and it's something I have to remind myself of every single day, it's great to have an ego. We all need an ego. If we didn't need an ego being human beings, we wouldn't have one. The danger is of becoming egotistical. There's
True.
A big difference.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference. And this is what you have to watch. I've seen it happen so many times with very, very gifted spiritual people that want to do good to other people. And before they know it, people, especially in the field of churches, for example,
mm-hmm.
I'm going out on a limb now, New Age churches, okay? And
mm-hmm.
I've seen some of the most talented, gifted people who have started out wanting to do good for the other people. And what has happened is that the people, instead of idolizing the divinity, the God, whoever they think of their God, instead of going to the church to praise God, if you will, they start idolizing the messenger, the minister. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and so
you can't give your power away.
Exactly. So I would suggest to you, yes, if you feel this is what you need to follow, do it. And the doors will open for you, and you will be led. This probably sounds very much like a cliche, but you will be shown where to go and where not to go. And just make sure, as I say, that you know that you are the servant of your own higher self, and this is why you're doing it. Now, you said something about you didn't like that word mediums. The word medium is a word that to me is combined with spiritual in its truest form. I would suggest a couple of books for you to read, which are excellent on mediums, and I think you get some insights from them. Both of them are English, and I'm not biased, but they just happen to be English mediums. One is called Living in Images, and it's by a writer called Carol Polge, P-O-L-G-E. You can find it in any bookstore or on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent book. This woman was a very, very gifted medium that she passed away about 2 years ago. The other
okay.
book I would suggest is one, it's called The Two Worlds of Helen Duncan. And this was another medium, a very, very gifted medium that did a lot of good work. And the reason, and this was written by her daughter after she died. And I cannot think of the daughter's name, but here again, you can find it. I don't know what part of the country you live in.
If I'm supposed to find it, I'll find it.
You'll find
it,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it will give you some insight into the gift of mediumship and the good that these people do. The true
right,
mediums,
I mean,
I'm just saying the true mediums do an awful lot of good for the earthbound souls, if you will, for humanity, for the people that they are bringing the messages to. But I would very definitely follow what you feel is what you're supposed to be doing, because if you don't, you'll lose it. When we are given a gift, if we don't use it, you will lose it.
Okay, because...
Does that answer your question?
I was a social worker, and I am a certified medium. I guess I'm just saying I don't like the label.
Okay.
That's all. That's all. I mean, I don't want to label myself as that. I'm not, maybe as a light worker or something.
I can understand that. But unfortunately, human beings, we have to operate with words. And they don't always convey. The words, unfortunately, don't always convey exactly what it is. I've been called a psychic, and I don't like the word psychic. To me... Anybody can be a psychic if they use that part of the brain that was given to us that the psychologists or psychiatrists say we don't use. They don't know how that part of the brain works. And I think anybody can develop their own psychic consciousness if they want to.
Okay, very quickly, and I promise I'll hurry. I was told that through a past life regression, I would be able to open the channel more by learning who... specifically my guides or higher beings wanted me to do.
I should imagine if you were told in a past life that would happen, all you have to do is talk to your guides and ask them. Now, this sounds very simplistic, but it's very simple. Give them permission. You always have to give your guides permission to come and talk to you because they cannot interfere with your own free will. We have our own free will. So all you do is just give them permission, and they will talk to you. It's as simple as that. If you cannot get it directly from them, if you find it too difficult, ask them to bring you the answers in your dreams, and your dreams will bring you the answers too.
Right. Thank you, and blessings to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, that was very interesting, what you had to say about labels. I know one label that is always so difficult is New Ager.
I know it's such a difficult label. There's nothing, one of the things I always say, Susan, there is nothing new about spirituality. And,
yes.
I think it's the wrong title to put on when people talk about the New Ages, it's kind of got a bad connotation in some circles. And as I say, it's very difficult to put into words who we are.
Right.
You know, we have a tendency to think that we are this human body that has this tiny little spirit inside us that we call upon whenever we need help, and it's just the opposite. We are spirit having a human experience, and as human beings, it's very difficult to put this kind of thing into words.
You know, that's so important to be reminded of, because I think especially people who come from a background like I did, you know, I was taught the opposite, you know, that we are not worthy, that, you know, we are these lowly beings. And, you know, what I love so much about what I will label New Age ideas without having another way of labeling it, is just how empowering and, you know, affirming those ideas are without being a challenge to the divine, because so often that's interpreted as, oh, you're challenging the divine in some way, and it's like, oh no,
right.
It's a beautiful thing that we're a part of the divine, and
we're all a part of the whole, and this is something that, you know, I remember I keep on talking about Shirley MacLaine, but she's an old soul. And I remember her saying, you know, these are exciting times that we live in. And she's so right, because it's like we've been on for the last 20 years, in spite of all the horrible things that are happening in the world, it's like humanity is going at warp speed. We are progressing spiritually so fast as well as physically and mentally. We're also progressing spiritually, and it's wonderful when I see, as I say, I you know, even though I grew up, was fortunate enough to grow up in a home that was, you know, psychically inclined, even so, I see little tiny kids nowadays that say the most profound things that just blow my mind. I have a great-granddaughter that she's 6, and we were talking in the car, and I forgot what we were talking about, but all out of the blue, she says, you know, she says, I have beautiful dreams, and I get messages in my dreams. Now, this is from a 6-year-old. I never thought of this when I was 6, or talking about it anyway. And, of course, my ears perked up, and I said, okay, Barbie, what do you dream about? She says, well, I always dream that I'm rich, and I love it. It's kind of funny. She's a very materialistic little girl. But just the fact that she talked about getting messages in her dreams, I thought, wow, we are really moving at warp speed, very much so.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know, Marie, that there's quite a lively chat going on as we talk, and I don't think I could even begin to convey everything going on in the chat.
Oh, wow.
There's so much. Yes, yes. And I will, just as a reassurance, someone messaged me from the chat asking if we're taking questions. Oh, here's someone who just messaged saying, loving the show. So that's very nice of you. So
thank you.
I just wanted to let the chat people know that I can't read it all, because otherwise I can only pay attention to so many things at once, but that I appreciate that you're having such a wonderful conversation in there, and I'll try to pick it up every once in a while and see if I can convey any questions. So if people do have a question in the chat, if you would do me a favor, right before the question, just type a Q or question, you know, make it really clear so that it'll stand out in the chat. That'll help me to see it. And I've also been asked if we're still taking phone calls. Yes, we are. And I want to thank the people who are very patiently waiting on the line. We'll try to get to as many calls as we can. And with that said, I'm going to bring another caller on. Now, this gets a little tricky because we haven't I haven't been able to get all the names of the callers since it's quite a big group. So the person I'm going to bring on next, just so this person knows, has an area code that begins with 3. So if you have an area code that begins with 3, be prepared. I'm about to bring you on the line. Hello, welcome. You're on the Frontier Beyond Fear.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Hi, I wasn't sure if it was my area code because it
that was
only
you.
Said
yes,
3.
You're the only one that has an area code beginning with 3. Why don't you share your first name with us?
My name is Michelle.
Okay. Well, hi, Michelle. Welcome to the
hi.
Show.
Thank you.
So feel free to ask Marie any question that you might have.
Yes, I do have a question. For about a year now, Mercury retrograde, the April before last, I mean, I've had someone on my mind that I had a relationship with in the past, and he kind of hasn't left my thoughts. I'm just wondering if any of this sudden resurgence of thoughts of him has anything to do with a past life, or does it mean a possible reconnection in this life?
It could mean both, Michelle. And thank you, by the way, for asking and for trusting me with such a personal question. It could mean both. I have found, including myself, that people that we meet of the opposite sex that we're in love with, so just feel like we've got a strong bond with, 9 times out of 10, we've been with them at least once before. And if you are feeling you're no longer seeing this person, if they are not in your life, is that right?
He's not at the moment, no. I went to college with him. Several years.
I would say that if he is cropping into your mind, that probably you're cropping into his. That we are made of energy. Everything is energy. And just think of it as like a radio station. You might be getting a bunch of static on a radio station, and all at once you get the channel that you need. And this is what happens between people. You're on the right wavelength, if you will. So you're communicating with each other mentally. You're both thinking of each other at the same time. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
And as I say, 9 times out of 10. Now, I'm not going to say that you're going to get back with this person again. It depends on what you both need to learn in this life. Okay?
Right.
I will give you a personal example. When I came to this country, I was engaged to an American soldier I'd met in England, and we'd only known each other for less than 3 months when we decided to get married. It was one of those things where we instantly knew each other. Well, I broke up with him, and which was, I thought at the time, a foolish mistake. But I've since learned then we had been together in a previous life where we had completed our karma together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We no longer, in order for us both to continue and to develop, there was still that connection there, that love connection between us. We basically in this life just met again just to say hello, just to remind ourselves of what we had had in the other life. And then he went his way and I went mine. Now, by sheer accident, and I don't believe in accidents, I found him again a few years ago, and he died about 5 years ago, and I found him about a year before he died. And as I say, I don't believe in accidents. It was kind of the closure of a story for me kind of thing.
Right, right.
And, of course, he was married, and his wife and I have remained friends, and we correspond with each other. So I shared that with you to give you an idea of what a past life can be bring back into this life. It's a strong bond, and maybe you will see this person again, but if you don't, it's probably because he needs to go on his journey without you to learn, and you have to go on yours.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it does, and I do believe we've had lives before. I haven't gotten into any of them, but I do think we've been together in a past life because we have too much in common. So,
right.
And
you
I
probably,
also have.
You probably have.
I'm sorry. I also have had dreams about him lately. One in which he was in the dream with his daughter, and he walked into the room, and I just felt like this pull toward him, like I feel in my waking life, kind of like an attraction. I just felt the pull in the dream for some odd reason, and I don't know.
I'm going out on a limb here, and I would suggest. Do you have any way of contacting this man without, if he's married, which he probably is, without courting any? Would it cause any problems for you to say hello to him?
I actually did that when I found him on Facebook last year. I sent a note and a friend request. I didn't get any response, but I think it's because the person that he's with is somewhat threatened by me for some reason.
Okay, then don't do that.
No.
But there seems to me like there is some kind of, especially if you're dreaming about him. Because
yeah.
when we are sleeping, our subconscious is wide open. We don't put up walls around
us. Right, exactly.
And I suspect that probably, like I said before, that the man is thinking about you. But I think I think you just need to go with the flow and see what
yeah.
happens. You don't want to cause any problems with whoever it is he's married to.
Right.
And you don't want to cause her any pain because that will come back on you if you do. And
right.
I think you just need to play it by ear.
That's basically
and meanwhile,
what I'm
go
doing.
Get on with your own life.
Right, right.
But
well,
I think
thank you.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
Go ahead, continue.
And,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. No, I think I think you just need to, this sounds like this is a very well-used phrase, and yet it's the most difficult phrase that anybody can actually do, is to let go and let God. And
exactly,
that is
yeah.
so hard to do, Michelle. It's a very hard thing to do. But that's what I'm going to say to you, is just see what happens.
That's what I am trying to do. It's just that the pull is sometimes so very strong that I kind of don't know what to do with it sometimes, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. Yes. Maybe he's going through something in his life right now that isn't very pleasant, and he's remembering all the pleasant things with you, and he's thinking about you, so the energy is there. He's connecting with you. He's tapping into your energy line. So I think you need to go with the flow and see what happens.
I will do that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your insights. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you,
Michelle.
Too.
Thank you, Michelle, for coming on and sharing so deeply with us. I really appreciate that. And, you know, something, Marie, that Michelle said, or what you said to Michelle, to me, that whole phrase of let go, let God, it means so much more to me now that I realize that God is a part of us, that we are human expressions of God. So when you do that, you're becoming more of who you are, not less.
Exactly, Susan. Right on,
yes.
right on.
Well,
and yet
I have
it's so difficult for us.
Yes, it is. It is, and you know, I think it's part of our lesson here. I think it's part of the reason we are here, so that we can have that joy of rediscovering ourselves, rediscovering
exactly.
that God that's within us.
That's right. That's right. We're human beings experiencing what it's like to be. We're a spirit experiencing what it's like to be human.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have to tell you, Marie, that this show is quite an exercise of the phone lines for me. Because we have an amazing queue of people waiting. And I so appreciate that, as well as a very active chat. And to the people in the chat, I'm trying to interact with you every once in a while, but I wish I could be multidimensional in the chat and in the show at the same time, because there's such a lively chat going on. And I believe the next caller that we're bringing on is actually someone who has been chatting quite a while in the chat room. And her name is Carrie, and I'm going to bring her on the air right now.
Okay.
Hello, is this Carrie?
Yes, hi, this is Carrie. Hello.
Wonderful. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was having fun talking in the chat room there.
I could see that, and I appreciate that you called in as well. I can see you have a whole support group there in the chat as well. They're cheering you on.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to spread love. I like to help people cheer up and feel good, you know. Somebody came
good.
In felt lonely, and I was just there to help support, and, you know, I know what that's like.
Yeah, I saw that. And you know what I love about chats like that, especially when you can return to chats. I'm sure people who participate in the Blog Talk Radio community, it does become a sense of community, doesn't it? Which
it
is really nice. So anyway, it's so nice to have you here. Do you have any
Thank
questions
you.
Or comments for Marie?
Yes, I have one. I have lots of past life memories I've had since I was little. This is just a confirmation for me, basically, Marie. I have a memory, and I don't, you know, it's okay if you don't tap into it, that's fine too. I have a memory of being in the Civil War as a Union soldier, and I even saw my, you know, how I looked and everything, and I had a name, but I wasn't sure if it was... I get the name Samuel, and I don't know if the last name is Schumann. I did look it up, and it was a real soldier. But I was just wondering what, excuse me, what you may pick up around that lifetime, if anything. And yeah.
Well, I don't know what I could pick up around it. First of all, Carrie, you're very fortunate. You obviously have fine-tuned, if you will, that part of your brain that I call holds all our past memories. To be able to tap in this way, and especially to pick up a name, because I would suspect the name Samuel was probably your name.
Schumann, I thought was the last name, but it was just more confirmation, and it's no trouble if you can't, you know,
I don't think you need any confirmation. I think you know it already.
Okay.
One of the things that people tell me, you know, and it's something that I always tell people when I do my workshops. That part of the brain that the psychiatrists say they don't know what we use it for is really ridiculous. We wouldn't have it if we didn't use it. And my firm belief is that thousands of years ago, when we were supposedly uncivilized, and I use that word loosely, I think we were much brighter than we are now. In fact, I've experienced a past life where I looked like a Neanderthal and I was communicating through my brain, through my mind, with somebody 100 miles away.
Telepathically.
Telepathically, right. And so that part of the brain that they say we don't know what we use for, I believe is where we store all our past memories from hundreds, thousands of years back. It's all stored there. And I tell people at my workshops, you don't need a guru to access your own spirituality, and you've proven that. All you have to do is to start using that part of your brain. It might be rusty. It's like anything else. If you're going to leave a car out in the rain, especially in Oregon, it's going to get rusty very fast. So you have to clean off that rust, oil it, take care of it, and nurture it, and it will come through.
I'm working on that. Yeah, I've been doing it most of my life. I just had to,
I would suspect.
Is there anything you could pick up then? Do you have anything from the past?
Not really, except I think probably anybody, and I've seen several people that have come back from the Civil War and a lot of other wars. And I think the main thing that people bring back with them, that sense of how senseless wars are.
You
bring back with you that innate, how do I put this? It's a feeling of frustration to see what goes on, but it also brings back with you a feeling of nurturing that you've been there and done that, and you know what it feels like to have been there. And so you are able to help people that are in pain, if that makes any sense.
Totally. I didn't even want to go to war. Yeah, because in my vision, I didn't want to go to war at all. I didn't want to leave my partner.
No.
And I know we're in this life as a friend, by the way. I know her from in this life.
Yeah, and I think you bring back a lot of empathy with you when you've actually experienced killing somebody else or somebody killing you in the name of war, politics, religion, whatever you want to call it, all the garbage, all the stupid reasons we go into wars for. I think when you've actually experienced it, it's ingrained in you at a cellular level. So you are able to empathize and nurture and love people that are there, that are experiencing that now. And I think that is the main thing that people like you have brought back with them. When they've actually experienced that thing, they bring it back with them so that they're able to say, when they say, oh, I know how you're feeling, it's not just a platitude. You're actually saying, I know how you're feeling.
Yes, absolutely. Great.
Does that help?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You answered my question, so
okay.
I appreciate that.
Good.
As a confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Carrie.
And thank
you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Oh, my, Marie, you are very popular. You're getting a lot of positive feedback from the chat. We did have one person who typed part of a dream in the chat, and unfortunately I saw it, but then the chat is going by very fast. We're having quite a bit of conversation in there, and it only saves things for so long, and so I'm unable to go back and see it. And it was just a snippet of a dream. Yes, Deep Blue from the chat, if you would like to write it again, she's writing to me in the chat, or she or he, I can't tell from the chat, go ahead and write it again, and I will try to read it. You know, I wondered, we will have endless callers tonight. I can see we're going to have full lines. I was wondering, Marie, I don't know if we'll have time to read the entire intro of your book since you're so very popular here tonight.
Well,
in fact, I'm going to leave that up to you if you would like to read a little bit of it, or, you know, it's really up to you.
Well, what if I just explain what the book is about?
Yeah, I think this would be a nice little break.
Okay.
Please just wait and be patient. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about your book? Because I think the book itself answers a lot of questions about past lives.
Oh, very definitely. Because the book, I called it Star. People have asked me why I called it that. And I use Star as an analogy. To me, the divinity is the star. The divine is the star, and all the lights that the facets you see shining off that star are us. And just like fingerprints, no two are alike. We're all having different experiences of the universe from that star. But when it comes right back to the nitty-gritty, we're all a part of that whole. And actually what the book is about, it's actually a novel, it's fiction, but it's based on fact. It covers 3,000 years of history, and it starts out with a group of souls that incarnate during the time of Akhenaten of Egypt, who was a very radical pharaoh. And what he did, he got rid of all the gods and goddesses of Egypt, and they prayed to Aten-Ra, the sun god, the only god.
Yeah.
And it was very radical. And needless to say, of course, it caused a lot of upheaval among the priests because the priests weren't filling their coffers, et cetera, et cetera. Like anything else, there was a lot of politics and religion involved. And in factual history, Akhenaten, of course, only reigned for about 9 years, and they believe he was poisoned. They're not sure. But my story starts with him, with this one group of souls that all create karma in that life or live their life. And the karma isn't just created by their own personalities, but it's created by the country, the times that they're living in, with all this religious and political upheaval. So then it continues into Henry VIII's England during the reign of Henry VIII, who, of course, had six wives. He was notorious for being a womanizer. And, of course, Henry VIII, because he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn and divorce his first wife, the country was Catholic, ruled by Rome, and so he's decided, okay, I will get rid of the Pope and I will rule England myself, I'll rule the Church myself. So that, of course, was the beginning of the change of religion in England, and, of course, over two or three centuries, there was a lot of bloodshed. And here again, the characters reincarnate to try and resolve their problems and, of course, run into, again, all the political shenanigans of that rule. and everything else. And then it ends up with them, they come back again during in New York in 2001, and the book climax is with the Twin Towers tragedy. And fortunately for the heroes and heroines, of course, they resolve their karma and they find out what life is all about.
Yeah.
And they resolve, and of course, it's, life is all about unconditional love. And that
yeah.
word, we bandy that word around so much. We can say we love our families unconditionally, we love our children unconditionally. But if somebody said to us, do you love Osama bin Laden unconditionally?
Uh-huh.
Or Saddam Hussein conditionally, unconditionally,
uh-huh.
what would you say?
That's the difficult
part, isn't it? Yes, if we are to believe in a divine order, a divine being, if you will, someone, a God, you know, we have to believe that he loves everybody,
right.
or she loves everybody, that the divine loves everybody. There is no difference. So, as I say, this is basically what the book is about. If you can't get it in your local bookstores and you're interested in getting it, you need to tell the bookstores they can get it through New Leaf Distribution, which is the distributor. And most bookstores order from New Leaf. It's also on Amazon.com. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on e-books. If they can't get it, all they can need to do is email me, and I'll tell them where they can get it from.
Okay, well, thank you. You know, we're getting a little echo on the line.
We are, aren't we?
It's yeah. not on my side. I'm not sure where it's coming from.
I don't know where it's coming from. All I've got here is my cat, and she's just sleeping. She's lazy.
Oh,
so
okay. Well, it's no one on this end. Okay. I think I know where it's coming from. All right, I got it. Sorry about that. We got a caller on the line briefly because anyway, it's resolved. I tell you, I think I'm going to have to watch CNN again tomorrow and see if they have a technical glitch. But I view this show for me as a learning experience too. Blog Talk Radio shows are, well, I feel like this is a growth experience for all of us, whether you're a caller or a guest or the host. And you know, I think that's the beauty of Blog Talk Radio, is that we really can expand our boundaries. You know, many of us couldn't just step right up and get on a big radio station. And yet we have this option to us to be able to get on a show like this. And tonight, I have to say, you're really allowing me to expand my box technically with the show, because I have never seen so many callers, and I'm learning a lot as we go along. So, but I do apologize for any little noise.
You know what? Larry King had better watch out, Susan.
Oh, boy. Well, I think I have a few years before that. But, you know, you never know. It's all practice. And, you know, 10 years from now, if I'm doing some mainstream show on the Oprah Radio Network or something like that, I will look back on this time.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure we'll have technical glitches there, too, which... it's reassuring
sure.
to me. That is reassuring
yeah.
to me. And I think through our lives, it's so important for us to not get so obsessed every time a little thing goes wrong. And I know you talk about that a lot with respect to karma. You know, even when big things go wrong, I mean, these are just minor little glitches. You know, I tend to be a little perfectionistic about it. But, you know, when things do go wrong or we have an obstacle in our path, I know you talk a lot about what that means for us.
Oh, very definitely, yes. It's when I talked about, you know, it's not just a matter of having to keep on repeating lives to resolve karmic lessons, if you will. We're given ample opportunity in this life to do it. I use the analogy, I try to describe it to people. In fact, I wrote this on my blog, on my website, when somebody asked, well, how do I know if an experience is karma? And I talk about the fact that maybe you're driving down the road in a carriage and you know exactly where you're going and you're enjoying the trip, you're enjoying the scenery, you're rolling along and enjoying the ride, and all at once the carriage hits a great big rock in the road. The carriage starts swaying all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You get knocked back and forth and you almost upturn and you're scared to death. And finally the carriage rides us down and you think, phew, I'm glad that's over. And you carry on down the road, and maybe a few more miles down the road, you hit another rock. Same old thing. And that is karmic. When
yeah.
you have something happen like that, for example, if you can't get along with your boss, use this as an example, and he absolutely hates you, she or he hates you, and you love your job, but your boss is making life miserable, and you think, okay, I'm leaving, I'm gone, and you leave. Well, you might find another job and the job is going great, but then maybe you'll meet somebody or get into a relationship and you're going through that same scenario where you're feeling like you're being put on, that they are really picking on you all the time, blah, 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 blah. You're repeating that lesson again. What you have to do is to look at yourself and think, why am I bringing this situation into my life? What is it in me that I need to see that I don't like? Am I feeling such a low self-esteem that I want to punish myself? Am I a bully and I'm seeing that in the other person? You know, we are mirroring things in other people that are actually within ourselves. And
yeah.
it can be something good or it can be something bad. But until you start looking at the situation from the point of view of why, why am I doing this to myself, or why am I bringing this situation to me, you're not going to resolve the problem. You can't run away from it. If you quit your job, fine, you know, but you're running away from the problem.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Yeah, that is so helpful for us to contemplate and help to understand why it seems like our lives repeat, you know, the same situations. There's a reason.
Yes.
And
yes.
and I appreciate yes. knowing that. Now, we have someone from the chat room, just to show that I am at least paying attention somewhat to a very lively chat. Someone has a dream that they just wrote a brief sentence about a dream that they had. The person's
okay.
name is Deep Blue Ocean in the chat. Now, in the chat, people have pseudonyms. So
okay.
I'm going to read this little snippet for you from his or her dream and see if you can reflect upon it.
Okay.
I dreamed yesterday about a gathering of people. Then the police intervened and was looking for evidence in the room. They find objects that they threw away. We tried to catch them. After we looked at a procession of very strange animals. Okay, this is a pretty non sequitur dream. I can see it has kind of a mixture of the police intervening in a situation, looking, searching for things, and then suddenly strange animals appear in the dream. When we have these non sequitur dreams, a friend of mine recently, I was trying to explain a dream to them one day and said to me, you know, it just doesn't translate, does it? You know, when you're trying to explain it. And it's true. So often dreams, when we try to put them in words, they don't translate. But, you know, there's some elements in this dream. What might some of these elements mean? Like a procession of very strange animals just showing up in your dream. What would that possibly mean?
Well, let's start off first of all with the police. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, Edgar Cayce used a phrase which I've never forgotten. He said, it isn't about the dream, it's about the dreamer. What is going on in that dreamer's life? That the dream state is trying to either warn them or clue them in as to what they're supposed to be doing or making suggestions to them. Now, the image of a policeman is law and order, everything being kosher, if you will, trying to get things the way they're supposed to be, creating order out of havoc. So it sounds to me like the dreamer is struggling, probably. There are people in the dream. Now, usually when there are other people in your dream or a person in your dream, it's a reflection. Everybody in your dream is a reflection of you, is an aspect of you, okay? The people in your dream, whatever they're doing, they're an aspect of you. The policemen are an aspect of you. And it sounds to me like this person is having a problem with making some kind of a decision. Their own mind is scattered. People around them are giving them all sorts of ideas and are confusing them. And they are trying to find order within this, the policeman. They are trying in their own way to find their own sense of order and control. Okay.
Yeah.
The animals in your dreams can mean many things, and it's hard to just throw it out into the in the air with anything. For example, if you're dreaming of a cat, okay, if there's a cat in it, usually a cat symbolizes somebody that's been catty, sly, maybe trying to. Cats are also independent, of course, but usually a cat symbolizes something that is not quite nice, somebody that's trying to do something to you. The same with dreaming of a coyote, maybe, or a fox. Usually if you dream of somebody, say, for example, a lion is usually indicative of strength, of stamina, of standing your ground. But it depends on the animal or the animals in the group to interpret what it is. But as far as the first part of that dream with the people and the policemen, to me seemed to be the most significant. There's something going on in that person's life right now, probably, where they're having to make a decision, try to decide on something, and they're getting mixed messages. They may be having part of the brain is saying, well, what if I do this and what if I do that? And people are trying to give them advice. Well, you should do this, you should do that. And the other part of their mind is saying, hold off a minute. I need order. I need to be able to see law and order. I need to see how things are going, and I need to do this, and this.
Okay. Now, something
I would suggest...
There are
several dream books, and I emphasize, don't depend entirely on symbols. You have to adapt the symbology to who you are and how you feel about that symbol, okay?
Yes.
For example, if I dream of a baby, I know from past experience, whenever I dream of a baby, it's something new that is coming into my life, and whatever that baby is doing is significant of what is happening in my life. Now, there are several, I'm not saying you don't use a dream book. They can be very helpful. My favorite, there are hundreds of them, but my favorite is a book by a guy named Kevin Todeschi, Todeschi, and it's called Dream Images and Symbols. And this man was trained at the Edgar Cayce Clinic in Virginia Beach. And he's very, very good with his symbology. But here again, as far as the animals are concerned, it depends on what the animals are, and also what the animals are doing.
Uh-huh.
Are they
Are
they attacking them? Are they protecting them? Whatever the animals are doing and how they are feeling in that dream is very important. If they're feeling fearful, if they're feeling content, feelings are very important in a dream.
Now, something they said is, they just typed this in the chat, the animals of my dream don't exist in Earth. So they're very unusual animals, like alien animals.
Oh. This sounds like this person is really having a struggle in some area. They're feeling alienated. And they're having some kind of a struggle with something that's going on in their life. And these are alien animals. They're feeling alien.
Yeah. Okay, well,
if that
makes
helpful.
Any
sense to them?
Yes, I hope it is helpful to the person. We have one more in the chat, and then we'll go back to the callers. And I do thank the callers for being so patient. I don't know if we'll be able – in fact, I can almost be certain we won't get to everyone tonight. So if you are calling long distance, I may in a few moments, I don't want to cut anyone off. I hope to get us to as many as we can. But you'll need to be a little patient because we are getting a great response. And I hope, Marie, that you will come on this show again sometime. And already people in the chat, when I asked if they were interested in that, they definitely are. So.
Well, thank you. I feel very, I'm stunned because I'm just me. But
well,
thank you anyway, Susan, and thank the people that want me back. That is a wonderful compliment.
I'll leave that up to you. But this is a very spontaneous experience with the callers and the chat. So anyway, here's someone else with a dream. I was put in a cargo container and shoved in the corner, then stuff loaded around me. When they went to load the cargo container on a ship, they put it in upside down, and I was upside down stuffed in this container. That's the dream.
Ooh, wow. Whew, that is really a dream. It sounds to me like a warning dream. It sounds like a person that, well, first of all, when we dream in symbols, for example, of a car, okay, the car is representative of our body. Now, and whatever that car is doing is what we're doing in our physical body, whether it's not taking care of a physical body, whatever it is. But this person is in a cargo box, upside down. It sounds, and they're being loaded onto a ship. It sounds to me like there's something in this person's life, or maybe they're getting into a situation that they need to get out of. Mm-hmm. Being in a cargo box, first of all, it must be very cramped. So they're feeling closed in, boxed in. Okay. Some area of their life, they are feeling very boxed in. And they're out of control because that box is being put onto a ship. They're being taken somewhere where they don't want to go, where they don't need to go. I would seriously look at the situations in their life, and if it isn't, look at what's going to be happening in the next few days, a few weeks. If you have that kind of a dream again, here again, if it's a warning dream, and I feel very strongly that this is some kind of a warning dream to this person, that in some area of their life, they are being boxed in and are feeling out of control. And if they have that dream again, and what they need to do when they go to bed at night, here again, talk to your guides. This sounds really off the wall, but I talk to my guides on a daily basis, just like I'm chit-chatting to you, Susan, or to a caller.
I understand.
And
yeah.
I ask them, if I don't understand a dream, and I know the dream is trying to give me a message, and I say, hey, give me a dream tonight that's going to make this message clearer. And you can bet your life. It may not happen that night. It may happen the next night. You will get a dream that will be clearer. You have to remember, by the way, it may not come instantly because in the universe, there is no such thing as time. We forget this. Time is a man-made concept, so everything's happening now. So when you get that dream again, look at it again and see if you understand what it is. But it really sounds to me like it's some kind of a warning dream. If they're not in some situation where they're out of control, especially being upside down, if they're not out of control now, they need to watch that they don't get out of control. Because there's going to be some situation where they're going to feel like, hey, I'm out of control here. I don't want this to happen. And they need to do something about it.
Okay. Yeah, and the person mentioned this was a very disturbing dream, which it certainly sounds like it would be, especially since they were upside down as well.
Yes, they're upside down not knowing what to do.
Yes.
They need to right themselves.
Yes.
And they need to get out of that box.
Yes. Well, if you're up for it, Marie, would you be prepared to take another caller now?
Oh, why not?
All right. This can be like a marathon.
It feels like a marathon.
Yeah, I don't want to wear you out.
I have to tell you,
I have never seen this much of a response. I mean, I am just so heart. It's a wonderful thing to see, and it's a great affirmation for me. And I have to say, I'm honored to have you on the show, and to see this kind of response, it's really a nice thing to see. So, and a compliment
thank
to you.
You too. Well, thank you. You know, I'm going to have to make sure that my feet come firmly planted on the floor. But I am a Capricorn, so I don't let things go to my head.
Well, now, I heard you talk about, the difference between ego and egotistical earlier, so.
You better believe it. There's a big difference, yes.
Oh, yes, yes. And you know, I appreciated that because so often people, I think that's so often misinterpreted, where people will say you have to give up all of the ego, everything, anything that has to do with you. And I always have a problem with that because why are you even here reincarnating and having these experiences if you need to just forget everything that ever had to do with you?
Exactly.
And so,
if we didn't need an ego, we wouldn't have one.
Yeah, why are we even here? Why bother? I mean,
right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so I am going to bring on someone who I also see has been in the chat. I don't know if she's been very vocal there, but she... her name is Mary Lou, and so we're going to bring her on the Frontier Beyond Fear. Here we go. Hello, Mary Lou. You're on the show. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Okay, thank you. Wonderful, and thank you so much for so patiently waiting here tonight.
Wonderful. Thank you. My question, I would love to have some clarity on love life issues.
Oh, wow.
That's a big one.
Be a little bit more specific, Mary Lou. We all have love life issues, Mary Lou. In fact, you know, I always make the comment, you know, we need men, unfortunately.
Yes, we do.
Just like yin and yang, they're a pain in the you-know-what, but what would we do without them, bless the hearts? So anyway, what specifically are you thinking of in the area of love issues?
Okay, do you see me having a love life?
That depends on you. That depends on strictly on you, Mary Lou, and that's not a cop-out, and it's not a brush-off. Whatever you want in your life that is good for you, and I'm emphasizing good for you, you will bring into your life.
I'm trying.
Then maybe you're trying too hard. And we do this. We all do this too hard. I happen to be one of those people that loves to watch Judge Judy. And because that woman is so in your face and she is so rude, that she is funny, but she really tells it like it is. And I feel so sad because of some of the ridiculous things that I see come into her courtroom. People who are so, so wanting a relationship, they will settle for anything. And 9 times out of 10, it's to their own detriment.
Settling for anything is not my problem.
Pardon?
I don't settle for anything. That's my problem.
Well, it doesn't make it. That's good that you don't settle for anything. But don't try too hard. The thing is, when these things happen, it will happen when you least expect it. I don't know if you heard me saying probably half an hour ago about using the phrase, which is used too much because people will use it and don't understand what it really means, is let go and let God. That is so hard for us to do. And believe me, I'm speaking from experience. When I start thinking, oh, God, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. If this doesn't happen, what will this happen? And so on. When I finally sit back and think, to hell with it. I'm just going, let it go and let it happen. That's when it happens. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
So I do. Every day it's like, can I let go of this? Oh, it's in my head. It's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go. It's It's got to go. There it is again. It's got to go. Goodbye.
But you're trying too hard. See, this is what I mean. This is what I mean, Mary Lou. It is the hardest thing to let go. Believe me, it is. Because it's a fear thing. We are afraid that if we let go of our own self, our own ego, or whatever, that we're not going to be in control. Okay?
I'm already
not. If we let go, we're not going to be in control. And maybe you are bringing men into your life that probably would be the best lover you've ever met in your life, and a kind, caring human being. But there is some fear probably back in you. Oh, no, they're not good enough for me. You know, have you ever stopped and thought that maybe you're subconsciously thinking you're not good enough for them? No, I stumped you, didn't I?
No, you didn't. No.
Yeah, I
think it's the reverse way. I think that I am good enough, and I think they are good enough, and I don't know why what is. So I just try to let go of it, so I don't have to deal with it.
Well, like I said, it's something that only you can solve. I can't solve that for you. All I can do is to tell you, you know, that once you have let go of whatever blocks that you've got there to bring what you want into your life, it's going to happen. And it can happen in the strangest ways. It can happen in I'm trying to use an example and I can't even think of one on the top of my head. But when you usually least expect something to happen, it will usually happen.
Well, yeah.
You sound so skeptical. I think you need to have a little bit more. It's not self confidence. You sound like a very self confident lady, but I think what it is, I think probably you need to have a little bit more. What's the word I'm looking for? Self-possession. Self-possession in what you have to give to the other person. And believe me, you know, we can dream about, I mean, for years I dreamed about Paul Newman, you know, that one day I was going to wake up and he was going to be in there in my bed. But I don't think Joanne Wood would have given him up, you know. And, of course, I'm being facetious now. But the thing is, if you are looking for a specific dream, if you will, and you meet somebody and you think, oh, no, they're not good enough for me, believe me, Mary Lou, you're not going to find the perfect man.
They don't exist.
I know.
I look for men according to the energy, whether their energy is a match to me or not, you know?
Well, that's a good thing to do, good thing to do. But I think, getting back to my initial thing, when we start pushing and try too hard, whether it's a love relationship or any kind of a relationship, when we start pushing too hard, it seems like the door gets slammed in our face because we're pushing too hard. And all I can say is just let yourself go and see what happens. Maybe that little 5'8" nerdy looking guy that comes into your life, you know, maybe he's it. And I'm exaggerating now, but maybe somebody will come into your life and that, you know, looks like, oh, they are not good enough for me, but they are really Atlas in disguise. They are for you. And you've got to give them a chance to find out if the energy is right between you.
Okay.
I wish I could help you more, but that's all I can tell you. And I've heard this before from people. They are looking and they're searching so hard for somebody to be in their life that they're just... It's like going from point A to point B on a bus, and you know where you've got to go to, but you're so busy trying to find that relationship, trying so hard that you're thinking about it so hard that you pass up the stop that you're supposed to get off.
Well,
you end up going further on.
Well, I have a man around me. I'm just wondering if it will ever be something good.
Well, the only thing you can do is just to wait and take your time and see. Don't rush things. Don't rush things.
I'm totally not rushing him. And it's been a long time.
Well, maybe you're sending out the wrong messages with the man. You said it's all about energy, and it definitely is. If you know, men are either black or white. There's no middle road with them, you know. And what you might be putting out energy there that is keeping him away when he wants to get closer to you. Maybe you are unconsciously raising barriers that isn't allowing him to come into your life a little bit closer so you can get to know each other better.
Okay, well, thank you.
If you have any other questions, or if you want to share anything, because, you know, this is just a fairly short show. I'd be more than willing to go into this more with you and answer any of your questions you have if you wanted to email me. All you have to do is go to my website, and there's a contact there. All you do is you can just put in your search engine, Marie Friend, and it'll bring up, you know, a list of my websites. And just come to my website, and I'd be glad to answer for it. I have people email me all the time. And I promise, if I can't get back to you that same day, I will get back to you, okay?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Okay, bye.
You know, it seems like it's so hard for us, for many things in our lives, just listening to that conversation, where we get frustrated. We think, you know, we've been waiting so long for whatever it happens to be, whether in romance, whether in, you know, business, waiting for something to happen business-wise, and we feel like we're doing everything right, and yet we're waiting.
And especially when it comes to wanting to meet the right person and having the right mate, because it's human nature. You know, if man didn't need woman and woman didn't need man, we wouldn't have the two species, right? And it's terribly sad because in spite of all our chat rooms, our dating sites, all the things that are available to people, there are so many people, Susan, out there that are so lonely.
I know.
And unfortunately, as I say, I've seen it, you know, because I've been married twice, and I've seen it when I was single. People are trying, not just women, but men too. I've seen it trying so hard. I remember, and this sounds absolutely ridiculous, I remember one time I was at a singles dance when I was single, and they were having a mixer. You know what a mixer is, where you change partners when the music stops. And this man, he hadn't been with me 30 seconds on the dance floor, and he says, "Do you want to get married?" And I thought, wow. And then he proceeded, he caught me later on in the night to get another dance, and of course he couldn't dance, that didn't help. But he's crying on my shoulder, he was recently divorced, his wife had taken him to the cleaners. I felt very sorry for the man, and I thought, you poor devil, you are going to end up with a barracuda. Because he was so desperate for somebody to love him and to have that companion, especially because his self-esteem was down after his wife had left him, that somebody would latch onto him that would probably make him very unhappy.
Yeah.
I hope not. I hope that wouldn't happen. But he was so vulnerable, and unfortunately what happens is that we do get very vulnerable. You know, we do have a tendency to get vulnerable, and we try too hard, and the energy is out there, and instead of bringing the right energy to us because of what the energy we are putting out, we bring the wrong energy to us.
You know, I have to trust sometimes in life that, you know, even when we don't do it right, you know, when we don't get it right, that somehow everything is happening in perfect timing. Because I have found, you know, I personally went through many years of loneliness when I was younger. And somehow now when I look, even though that was very difficult back then, and I was very focused on my studies and everything, but still very lonely. I figure, you know, every part of my life, whatever challenging parts there were, they happened in the perfect timing, and that we have to somehow trust that it's all part of this great puzzle of our lives,
exactly.
You know, many
right.
lives. So now
exactly.
I wanted to address the callers that are out there, because I know we're not going to, unfortunately, get to every one of you, and you've been so patiently waiting, and a few have dropped off because there just have been so many. In fact, this has been a real test for me of the switchboard. I didn't know how many callers could actually come in, so it's quite the interesting thing. So I'm just going to mention that the next caller, so listen carefully, callers, the next one who's going to come on has an area code that begins with 78. Then after that, we have a caller that begins with 57 and another one that begins with 56. And given the time we have, we might get to the one that starts with 81. But after that, if you did not hear the first two digits of your phone number, we're probably not going to get to you in the time that we have left. You can stay on if you like, but I just didn't want too many people staying on, and we just won't have time to take everyone on here. But I certainly appreciate the interest, and I know Marie does. I wanted to once again mention that Marie does have a website, www.mariefriend.com, and she has a number of workshops coming up in Oregon, and you can go to the site to see that. If you're interested in the Frontier Beyond Fear show and want to keep an eye on the schedule, you can certainly see that on the Blog Talk Radio page. We have this show somewhat sporadically. We're gradually falling into a pattern. Through the summer, I don't know that we'll do it every Saturday night, but we will be on several Saturday nights. There's also a Facebook group for the Frontier Beyond Fear that I just started, which is a community. So if you want to share on that community on Facebook, you are most welcome. And all you have to do is look for the Frontier Beyond Fear there. Also, there's an email, info@frontierbeyondfear.com. So if you have any questions, if you have a suggestion for a guest, if you just want to communicate something to me, you are most welcome to send an email or put a comment in the show comments. So anyway, just getting some logistical things out of the way, giving you a little breather too, Marie, because it's been quite an evening of calls.
Oh, I've been enjoying.
And it is fun.
Yes, I would like to say to the people that have not been able to get through, and I really appreciate them, their interest. If they have any specific questions that they feel they would like to answer. For me to answer if I possibly can, and they're not able to get through on the phone, if they go to my website and click on the contact button, they can email me, and if I can answer their question, I'd be more than happy to do so.
Okay, well, that's wonderful that you're opening up that opportunity to them, and most appreciated, I'm sure. Okay,
well, I feel bad if they've been waiting.
Yeah, well, you know, some of them most definitely have, and it's very difficult to predict how many we can bring on. And I guess rather than talking about them, I suppose we should bring another on.
Bring another.
let's go ahead and bring another caller on. So I'm now going to bring on the caller whose area code begins with 78. So if that's your area code, caller, you're about to come on the air. Hello, you're on the Frontier Beyond Fear. Are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome.
Great.
What's your first name?
My first name is Carissa.
Okay, nice to have you on the show. Thank you for being so patient.
Oh, thank you. I think it's my patience that actually got me on. I know I wasn't the first caller or the second caller. So, do I just ask a question?
Yeah, go right ahead. Marie is there. Let us know if you have a question or a comment.
My question, I'm not exactly sure how to phrase my question, but it is about definitely about past life. You do past life work. And last night, I was just asked a question that came totally out of left field. It's quite embarrassing for me to iterate on the radio, but it was interesting because I had a reading where this person, like months ago, told me that this was going to happen. And then when it happened, I was just like, oh, my God. And I just feel like I know that these people in my life are from past life. And I mean, there's so much backstory to my question, and I'm not even sure what it is exactly. But I mean, okay, so I dated this guy who, this is like 2 years ago, he woke up in the morning and he told me that this was going to happen. And now that this person asked me this question, which I think was kind of inappropriate, I'm just wondering, like, what is all the karma? What am I supposed to do? Can I just have some guidance, I guess? It's not really a question. It's just, like, any guidance you can give me so that I can walk in the light and, like, know what I'm supposed to do.
I think, now, if I'm getting what you're asking, Chris, is that this young man you feel like you've been in another life with, right? Is it?
Yes, actually, quite a bit of them, a group of people.
A group of people. Well, first of all, let's take that first of all. When you incarnate, you will usually incarnate with people that you have incarnated with before, that you've lived with before, for various reasons, and they're all teaching reasons. Obviously, your parents, your siblings, significant others, they usually incarnate with you time and time again. If they don't incarnate with you in every life, they will usually watch over you in the spiritual world, and that's a whole different subject. So it's quite likely that you were with this young man in another life. And whatever you did in that other life, whether you've come back to just enjoy each other's company again, to be with each other again, to help each other in your growth, it's all about a learning experience. We're learning from each other all the time. It's like the saying that the teacher learns from the student, vice versa. What you're learning from the other person, they are also learning with you. Now, you said that he asked you a question that you didn't know quite how to answer because, now, correct me if I'm wrong, was it a question that you felt was inappropriate?
Yeah, it was under the circumstances. I mean, it belongs on a soap opera.
Okay. How did you feel about it at the time? I mean, what were your feelings when he asked you this? Were you angry? Were you shocked?
I was totally shocked. I was totally shocked. It came out of left field. It was not something I was anticipating at all. I was embarrassed. I was kind of a little bit like, wow, this person who's known me for 20 years in this lifetime doesn't know me at all, in that regard, at least. I don't know. And then I started remembering Rick and what he said to me, so we'll put names on these people, real names. Rick was my boyfriend, and he told me he woke up years ago and told me that he saw the future, and he told me what it was. And James is the one who asked me this rather inappropriate question. And I'm just kind of wondering,
like, Well, it sounds to me like there's some kind of a triangle of energy going on between the three of you that maybe, or more than likely, you've gone through this before. You've maybe repeated the same thing in another lifetime. Now, how you react to it depends on whether it's going to turn out negative or positive, if you're going to repeat it again. My suggestion would be, without seeing what it was that the person said to you, and I don't want you sharing it on the radio, it's really difficult to get a handle on what is going on between your boyfriend and this other person.
I'm still in shock.
You. Okay. What I would suggest you do, and I know this probably, it's so difficult for people to talk to the guys. Okay, and there's nothing to it. It's not like having to kneel down in a church and say a rosary or light a candle. You don't have to go through all that garbage, okay? Your guides are there all the time. And all you have to do is give them permission to talk to you, and they will. They will talk to you like... And it's not because I'm quote-unquote psychic. My guys have talked to me all my life, long before I even knew the meaning of the word psychic. But it's a matter of being allowing them and listening to them. And I would suggest to you, Chris, is that you ask them. Say, look, I'm giving you permission to come and talk to me. Please tell me what is going on here. And they will give you some inkling. They'll give you some clue as to what is going on. Does that, you know, that sounds very simplistic. But it's a fact. It's a given. It will happen if you all believe it and you are willing to do it. And there's no great big mystery about it. Everybody is capable of communicating with the people that are guiding you in this life. And that's out there for everybody. We all have people that are helping us in this life. We're not left on our own to fumble our way through the dark. We are given help, and all we've got to do is ask for it. And as I say, you don't have to be in a church, you don't have to be in a temple, a synagogue, wherever. You can be, I talk to my guides driving in the car, and they'll talk to me. Sometimes they talk to me when I don't want them to, you know, and I want to tell them, shut up. Not really. But this is the thing. If you ask them, say, look, what is going on here? I don't want to have to repeat this again. Would you please tell me what I need to do in this situation? And they'll tell you. Do you understand that?
Well, I mean, I talk to my guides every day, too. I mean, I know that, you know.
You talk to them. Do you listen to what they're saying?
Yeah, sometimes it's really hard to listen to them. I shouldn't be so shocked, right? I mean,
you're allowed to be shocked. What's wrong with being shocked? You know, he obviously said something that was insensitive to you, and you know, it shocked you, and probably made you feel like you wanted to hit him, I should imagine. But, you know, I have a favorite saying, and my kids, I used to say this to my kids when they get me aggravated, Chris, and I'm not saying you're aggravating, you're not. I'm enjoying this. But I say to them, you know, you are broadcasting when you're supposed to be tuning in. When you talk to your guides, don't just talk to them and tell them your problems. Get silent and say, okay, tell me, and listen. And they will talk to you like they're sitting right next to you. Believe me, they will talk to you. Sometimes they want to talk to you. You know, I'm going to give you a personal example. I had a reading, for a private reading last weekend for this woman. And she immediately, she had an Indian guide. And for some reason, whatever reason, Native American Indians love to be guides, and she had this Indian guide, and I could see him, and he said, finally, you know, she's going to listen to me, you know, because, and apparently he'd been trying to talk to her and guide her for a long time, but she hadn't been listening, And he was a very in-your-face person, and of course I'm sure that was his personality in this life. But he was very aggravated with her because she hadn't been listening to him. And finally she was allowing, you know, through me, I was telling her, you need to listen to him because he can tell you what to do. And I think, as I say, if you talk to, don't just talk to him and say, look, I need answers and I'm shocked. What do I need to do about this? And that's all. That's all you need to say. And then just listen. If you don't get an answer when you go to bed tonight, say, okay, apparently my physical is getting in the way. When I'm asleep, you know, and I'm more open, give me the answer in the dream, and they will. Okay? I'm going to give you a very personal example. We've only got a few minutes left.
Yeah, we only do.
How
and I will.
Dream. Pardon?
I will tell you one thing, Marie, just since this is the first time you've done the show, is that it cuts off very abruptly if we don't, if we go up.
All right, okay.
So we'll need to wrap up in about 2 minutes.
All right. If you want to email me, Chris, do so, and we'll see if we can't figure out for you. But it's very simple. All you have to do is listen to your guides and then shut up and listen to what they have to say, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye.
And I wanted to thank the callers that we have been unable to get to tonight. We won't be able to take any more callers because we only have about 2-3 minutes left of the show. I don't know, Marie, if you'd like to sum anything up right very briefly at the end, if there's anything more that you'd like to say. Just to wrap things up.
Well,
and
yes,
thank you,
I
by
think,
the way.
Well, thank you, Sue, for having me. And I really, I think to sum up, the main thing is for people, the general feeling that I've got from people that have been asking these questions are people that are really, really searching for answers. And what they need to do is start listening to their own inner guidance. Start listening to what I call my head honchos, my guides. Start listening. Get out of the way of yourself. Get out of the way yourself. And when you meet a problem, just ask. And it'll come to you. That's all there is to it. And it sounds very simple, but it is simple. And I appreciate everybody that has called in tonight, and I've really enjoyed it.
Well, I've really enjoyed sharing this time with you and with everyone who's called in. It just feels like we've covered a lot of ground tonight, it seems. Through the eyes of each caller, it brings through messages that are meaningful for many of us, I think.
Well, hopefully some of the people have learned something, you know, that the people have learned something from it. But anyway, thank you for having me, Sue.
Well, thank you so much, Marie, and I look forward to talking with you again sometime, and be very interesting to see what workshops you have coming up and things. And just a reminder to anyone listening, Marie's website is www.mariefriend.com, and she did say that she'd be taking emails from callers who are unable to get in or anyone with a question in the chat. So I want to thank all our listeners for being with us, and I hope to see you again sometime, as well as those in the chat. Mm-hmm.